Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah. He is risen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is risen indeed. The very reason we are here today, a week after Easter, where we just celebrated what the angel said at the tomb. He is not here. He has risen. That is the Easter story, and thus was our anticipation throughout the entire Lenten season. However, as you are aware, Easter is now behind us. Thus, we are left with these questions. What do we do now with this great news? What doors does Jesus' resurrection open? Scripture defines many doors. There's the door of the ark, the Passover door, the temple door, the shepherd's door. But what door Jesus left wide open, and the reason we shout, Alleluia, is because of his ascension into heaven at Easter. The doors of death were opened, so were the doors of heaven. Alleluia. Literally or figuratively speaking, we daily encounter many doors. I'm sure you passed through several as you were getting around this morning. You'd either have to stay in bed or be quite creative to make it an entire day without going through a door. How many of these doors are kept locked? Today, in the Gospel of John, we are confronted with doors that are closed and locked. Do you feel more secure if you lock any of your doors? The narrative in the Gospel of John 20 said the disciples closed and locked their doors for the security against the hostile Jews. In their mind, they were on an emotional roller coaster from the previous weeks of betrayal, denial, Jesus' trial, the crucifixion, and then the burial of their teacher and close friend who they loved and followed for 3 years. And now, these eyewitness people that saw him tell them that he has risen from the dead. Processing all these events and fearful that they would be exposed to persecution themselves for just being on this roller coaster, they closed and locked their doors. Speaking of roller coasters, have you ever been on one? I can remember the thrill of the sharp turns and twists, and then the cars suddenly slow down as they start that steep climb to the top. Chains clattering, clattering, clattering as they go higher and higher. My heart pounding from the anticipation of what is to come. The peak is finally reached. Then suddenly, the emotions were released from the depths of my soul. Simultaneous screams of excitement, exhilaration, and fear. White knuckles from hanging on, daring to wave in the air like other pastors might be doing. As this ride nears its end, I release the air that had been captive in my lungs. Hallelujah. With some level of imagination, this could describe many of our spiritual rides. It seems Lent is a time where we can find ourselves on a roller coaster. Like the disciples, we followed Jesus' ministry to the cross. We too, through Scripture, are then told by eyewitnesses that Jesus defeated death and opened the door to heaven. The very reason we proclaim he is risen. But as the Easter joy wanes, the Alleluia at times can get muted behind our closed doors. In daily Christian living, we must ask ourselves, am I living the freedom and joy of the resurrection? Or behind locked doors of my struggles, my heartaches, or my wandering mind? For many Christians, the resurrection and the Easter story is at the peak of their spiritual roller coaster, and everything is downhill from there until Christmas. Could it be that the air we let out of our lungs on Easter morning be the last Alleluia of the year? What is it that makes our life different 1 week after Easter? Let's reflect on the gospel lesson today in John 20, where we are told about the disciples' emotional roller coaster and Thomas's personal experience with Jesus. Their life looked much different 1 week after Easter. Even though most of the disciples saw Jesus appear to them behind closed and locked doors of prior Monday, Jesus shows up again 8 days later. This is when Thomas was present, and that is who Jesus gives his undivided attention. Being omniscient as he was, Jesus knew Thomas was having doubts. "Touch me," he tells him. Jesus confronted Thomas, addressed his doubts, and showed him his pierced side and said, "Stop doubting and believe." What strikes me most about Thomas's story is not that he doubted, but that he did so boldly amongst his faithful friends without shame or guilt. And then what makes it better is Jesus' response that met Thomas right where he was at, freely and willingly offering to him what doors the resurrection opened. Jesus then says to Thomas, "And all who are behind those same doors of Christianity, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So what would you say you believe? That can be a pretty wide door in today's society. Let's just say that for now, we will recite the Apostles' Creed after this sermon. That's what we believe. But looking beyond that, as Christians, we should include loving one another, turning the other cheek, creating a new identity in Christ, and many other things we know and learn from Scripture. John goes on to say in verse 31, "These are written so that you may believe." And we do, and for that we shall remain grateful. But just like that roller coaster experience, I could write down and tell you what it's like to be on that ride, and you will probably believe me. That, by example, is the "He is risen indeed" portion of our Easter story. But you need to experience the thrill of that roller coaster for yourself to really know His risen presence, develop a personal relation with Him, realize that He will come through all locked doors in your life. Until you unlock that door, you won't really understand the intimacy of that spiritual ride, that letting the air out of your lungs, hallelujah. That door needs to swing open from the inside of your heart, the one that is so often closed between your heart and your mind. I admit, I'm not very patient when it comes to opening various doors in my life, thinking they should open or close like the automatic ones you're accustomed to nowadays. Just walk up to them and they open up. Too often, life gets in the way. No time for prayer, no time for looking to Jesus, just expecting the doors to automatically open to fix suffering and sadness, renewed relationships, or loved ones' healing process. Expectations that this same automatic door will open for those who might be on the fence about believing at all. Just an over-the-counter hallelujah. But what I see in Thomas made me realize that it's that personal relationship that only lies with seeing the scars of Jesus. That intimate relationship from the depth of your soul that develops over time. John is opening that door for us to see in his gospel, not to see doubting Thomas, but rather that personal relationship we too can have with Jesus. Looking beyond the doubting and seeing a Thomas who gives the greatest testimony in all of Scripture when he opens the door between his heart and his mind and he realizes the resurrection, what it really meant to him. When he says, "My Lord and my God." Did you catch that? "My Lord and my God." Hallelujah. Now that is a personal connection. You see, we must focus on to Thomas's renewed strength and not his former weakness. He was a man who desired desired that holy and beautiful relationship with Jesus. A man that did not settle for someone else's experience of the resurrection, but focused on the reality of having his own. A man who dared to confess uncertainty among those who were certain. A man who recognized his Lord in scars, not wonders. Not long ago, I had a conversation with a man about faith. He admitted he did not go to church, nor did he want to. He said he believed in God and therefore felt that was good enough to get him to heaven. Now, I don't mention this to judge him, but I use this as an example of someone who believes in the resurrection but is not willing to seek a personal relationship with Jesus. Do you know someone who is like this man who is daring to doubt? This personal relationship is what John wants us to see behind the door of the resurrection. If you or someone you know is not seeking to open that door, these questions might arise. How do I get there? How am I to elevate the faith in Christ the same way that Thomas did? We must keep in mind that this journey will be different for everyone. But like recovering from an addiction, you must recognize you want to open that door. Are you worried about money? Bitter about something? Mad at God from some condition in your life? Or maybe just like that man I described, not much interested in spiritual interaction. Then you are hiding behind closed doors, not ready to look at Jesus' hands and side. John wants us to see what these wounds represent through Scripture. He says in verse 31, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Life in the same relational Jesus who talked to people, helped those in times of need, dealt with relationships, touched those near him, fed thousands who were hungry, and healed all kinds of illnesses. When you can see Jesus in this context, you will see who he really is and understand that he wants a relationship with you as well. John goes on to write what he and the apostles witnessed in the epistle lesson in 1 John 1, verse 3. "And which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." But here again, like building any relationship, it can take time. Remember how impatient I said I was? I would have liked to see that man walk right through an automatic door to a relationship with Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if it worked that fast? Realistically, God's time can be but a moment, but it can take also a lifetime. That's not for us to know. But what we do know is that Jesus will keep coming back like he did for Thomas, to stand in our presence and to show the scars of his suffering, what he accomplished on the cross for you, for me, and for all people. From this, we dare not forget that he took all our sins and iniquities away. And it's by his wounds we are healed. Hallelujah. Jesus will meet you behind closed doors, willing to seek that relationship with you by repeatedly saying like he did to Thomas, "Peace be with you." Then he will reveal his presence by his wounds. We should find great comfort from this. Jesus is right there 24/7. In fact, he walks before you to light your way. He walks beside you to keep you from turning to the left and to the right. He walks behind you to pick you up when you fall. He is underneath you to carry you when you are weak. And best of all, he's in heaven above waiting for the day that he can see you face to face. Jesus is wanting for each one of us to reach down, turn that knob, and swing open that door to new beginnings. Now that the celebration of Easter is past, this is where our focus must lie. a message that this rite only begins with the Christ's resurrection, the top of that roller coaster. Then hang on to your hat, because this is the greatest thrill is yet to come. There's so much more when you dare to doubt, desire to see, want to touch the one whom you will one day see face to face. Then when Christ shows up again to bring us home for him, with him for eternity, we will stand before him just as sure as Jesus was standing before Thomas. For that is what awaits behind the doors of the resurrection. Open that door. Experience the ride. Get to know the one you can call my Lord and my God. Truly an eternal blessing for all who believe. Rejoice always in that. Alleluia. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise as we profess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.